from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be
joining us right now, one of my absolute favorites to talk all things college football, graduate of the Ohio State University. You could also catch him every morning, 6 to 9 a.m. On the Morning Juice out on 97.1 The Fan in Columbus. Former Cowboys linebacker as well, our pal Bobby Carpenter. Make sure you give him a follow on the OX app at BCarp3. Bobby, both of the teams that you have an affinity for, obviously Ohio State and then Dallas, under an immense amount of pressure going into this year. But that's nothing new for you, right, my friend?
Oh, no. I mean, you're at the schools. I mean, the expectations are those programs, I guess. The expectations are sky high. There's a lot of visibility. There's a lot of eyeballs. I mean, that's a good thing. Pressure is a privilege. Maybe in Dallas it's a little undue pressure brought on by their owner who is trying to get some stuff taken care of and haven't signed your quarterback, and there's a number of issues with that. But, it's always going to be pressure at places like that.
And I like how you put it, Bobby. Pressure is earned, my friend. I couldn't agree with you more. I want to start out in Columbus, man. Big-time use of the transfer portal. One of my favorite guy that you all got in the portal was the center from Bama. I think he comes in and plays a massive role for you all. I guess a two-parter here for you. Do you agree with the narrative that this is the most talented Ryan Day team? And then two, do they have to get championship-level quarterback play, Bobby, to win the national championship game?
A couple elements with that as you look at it. First, the portal situation has been really interesting with how, that, as I apologize, the ambulance driving by me right now. With the portal situation, the Ohio State only brought in 6 transfers. So, there's a lot of teams that bring in, 15, 20. I mean, usually the best schools, if you're consistently developing and keeping your own players, my rule was, is 10% of your roster on an annual basis coming from the portal? If it is, then you're in a school that is not recruiting real well, or you're not developing, or you've got some inherent issues, or you're losing a lot of guys. They brought in, like you said, McLaughlin at center is a big piece. I think it is, one of the most talented rosters in college football. It could be the most talented rosters you look across from it, or across it. And the big reason why was they got a lot of guys to come back. It's the most veteran roster that Ryan Day's had since he's been there. Defensively, they returned just about everybody. They have 4 seniors up front that are going to start and play, including two guys like Jack Sawyer and JT Tuimoloau. Those guys are the 1 and 2 defensive ends, in the country when they got recruited and when they came in. So those guys are really talented. They've got a really good secondary. They've got some younger linebackers. They've got some good linebackers. But their defense should be the keystone of that team. And with it, they bring in Chip Kelly, who I think is as big addition as anyone. Because of what they want to do. They got Quinshon Judkins out of the portal from Ole Miss, who's really talented. So you pair him with Travion Henderson. And now I think there's going to be a team where they'll still push the ball down the field. They're going to still make some big plays. But I think this team is going to be a squad that runs the ball a little bit more, primarily leans into that defense, and tries to win a little bit more, maybe like what you would see with Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, where you've got a dominant defense. You've got explosive playmakers. You can push the ball. But let's not expose the defense. Let's dominate up front. Let's ground and pound and see if we can win that way.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. That's going to be the formula for success for them. I wouldn't drop Will Howard back. If he's throwing the ball more than 20 times in a contest, things aren't going your way, is the way that I would look at it this year for Ohio State. You mentioned getting Judkins out of the portal. They've got a real opportunity, you know, to dominate both sides of the line of scrimmage. In terms of the pressure, though, Bobby, and this is what is so great about earning that pressure, is it national championship or bust here for Ohio State, buddy, or do you feel as if another result would be acceptable? And the one, I guess another two-parter here for you as well. You mentioned bringing in Chip Kelly. Does at some point, if they struggle at times this year, does Chip Kelly's name get thrown around as a potential replacement for Ryan Day? Do you even think Ryan Day getting replaced is a possibility at this point, considering what he's been able to do there?
Yeah, I mean, you look, I think he's lost like 6 games in 6 years or something like that. I mean, it's plus 3 conference games. Now, they've been the wrong 3 conference games the last 3 years.
Yeah, I know, right?
Obviously. But, I mean, the guy's played for a national championship. He's been to the playoff. They've been really close. Yeah, because they make that field goal against Georgia 2 years ago. You know, it's an if, but right. It's a 50-yarder. Like, you probably win the national championship then. So, you know, talking to the new AD, Ross Bjork, he's like, you know, having a conversation. Like, who do they think we should hire if we fire Ryan Day? Like, he's like, do you think we can get Nick Saban? Like, do they want to get Dan Lanning, who it's going to cost $40 million to get him from Oregon? Like, these, like, it just, Ryan's are, I've been around a lot of football coaches. And I tell people this all the time, good and bad. Like, Ryan Day is a really good football coach. Now, it doesn't mean that they, you know, he shouldn't maybe do some things differently and they've made some adjustments. But him and Chip are really close. Like, I can't imagine. Yeah. Chip recruited him out of high school, for heaven's sake.
Oh, I didn't even know that. That's why.
Oh, yeah, that's from the same hometown. So the thought if they came to Chip and I, like, hey, we're going to replace Ryan with you, I honestly would be surprised if he even would accept that, given, like, their relationship and kind of the mentorship piece of that. And so, like, you say struggling. I mean, yeah, if they're somehow, like, 4-4, yeah, those conversations could be had because that would be ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I think struggling is a relative term. This year it's easier. It's going to be easier to get in the playoffs than ever before. But I think with that, it's an NFL style where it will be harder to win because now you've got to either win 3 or 4 games against really good competition in consecutive weeks.
Yeah, I agree with you completely, man. I do think it would be kind of foolish to let a guy like Ryan Day out of your building. But we know what the expectations are out there in Columbus, man. It is beat Michigan, you win national championships. That is all that program cares about. Speaking of another program that's, in my opinion, has got an immense amount of pressure on them heading into the year, Penn State. They have been, being a DMV guy, Bobby, I do my local radio in Washington, D.C. I'm born and raised here. Being a DMV guy, I look at him as like the DMV talent whisperer. They're consistently getting guys from the Maryland, D.C., Virginia area, and we're struggling to keep our guys at home, which is why Coach Locks and Maryland are not where they're supposed to be, in my opinion. But when you look at Penn State and what this year is for them, what do you say the expectations are for that program? And then if they aren't able to get over the hump, do they potentially think about going another direction with their head coach situation?
Yeah, I mean, they gave them that extension, you know, a couple of years, year or two ago. So, I mean, it's hard to get out of these. People act like there's infinite money. Well, when you have to pay your players, too, like, the people only have so much. You can only go back to the same money tree so many times to shake it. You know, going divisionless helps Penn State. The 12-team playoff helps Penn State. If you look over the last, like, 6 or 7 years, I mean, James Franklin's brought this up, and he's made sure everybody's aware of it. Over the last 6 or 7 years, he's like, we would have been in more times than not at 10-2. And last year, they were 10-2. And who did they lose to? Ohio State and Michigan. Well, this year, they don't play Michigan. And they've got a pretty manageable schedule. They should be 10-2, probably at worst. And honestly, with watching them today and seeing what they're doing with Drew Aller and the building.
In a tough environment, too.
Yeah. Buddy. Oh, don't underestimate. I mean, you're from West Virginia. They get a lot of people from the DMV that go there.
Yes.
I mean, it is a raucous environment now. It's not the biggest stadium, but I've been there for games. My brother played there with Marshall. I went to a spring game when I was getting recruited. Like, they know how to get after it. I told Jacob Hester, I do XM with him in the afternoons. He's an LSU guy. I go, the Venn diagram overlay on the LSU West Virginia fan is very similar with how they're going to go about their day and how passionate they're going to be. So tough environment. They're pushing the ball down the field. The defense looks good. Like, the expectation for them is to make the playoffs. And I think that they will. If they don't, like, I can't imagine going 8-4. I think like 9-3 is kind of their floor, yeah, based upon how talented they are. And is James Franklin the best in-game coach? Probably not, but he's a great recruiter. Yeah. He runs a really good program. When he has a good offensive coordinator, they're really stinking good. Like, the other question is, like, if you fire him, okay, do you want to end up like Texas for like 7 or 8 years? Do you want to end up like a Florida for a decade? Yeah. Like, there's no guarantee that the guy you're going to bring in is going to be the one that puts you over the top.
Yeah, I completely agree. I like your analogy of shaking the same money tree. It's only got so much money that can come from. But that's real. But I know the boosters out there at Happy Valley are doing their part to ensure that James Franklin and company are able to compete. Keeping things in the Big Ten here for a second, the newest member of the Big Ten, the Oregon Ducks, championship-ready roster, their quarterback position and what they can get from Dylan Gabriel, I think, is going to determine what ultimately happens there. How do you view Oregon, and ultimately, you know, do you think they've got enough to make it through a difficult college football playoff?
Yeah, I think they have enough. I mean, Dan Lanning, credit to him, he's built that team like an SEC power. Like, they're big up front, they're physical. They brought in Dylan Gabriel. Like, there's a lot of parallels with them in Ohio State as far as how their team is constructed. Bringing in that, you know, that fifth-year veteran transfer quarterback who's had success other places, his experience. They've got everything that they need. They've got Phil Knight and Scrooge McDuck vault in the back for whatever players they need and facilities. Like, yeah. Oregon, it's funny because, you know, when they talked about the Big Ten expansion, it was USC and UCLA. And that was like, USC, they're going to be great. They're going to be this. Well, like, Oregon's been the real gem. I mean, they're right. The ones that you look that are positioned for the next decade to be a top five program in the hunt every year. And I'm looking this weekend in October, second weekend in October, where, you know, Ohio State's traveling out to Eugene and playing Austin, because that's going to be one heck of a slugfest.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's probably, you know, going to be the game that determines the winner of this conference, in my opinion. I think it's going to be fascinating, though, to watch what they're able to do. You mentioned Gabriel. When you look big picture here, and I guess let's look at it through the prism, Bobby, of an NFL of talent evaluator. Who do you think is the top, let's say, two quarterbacks right now in the country heading into, or who will be the top two quarterbacks heading into the 2025 NFL draft?
Carson Beck. I mean, Carson Beck looks really good today.
He's slinging
it. You know, it's tough because I haven't even seen Dylan Gabriel play this year. You know, like, so making evaluations, like, because I always tell people, like, college players are not a finished product. They can get better.
For sure.
They can still improve. And sometimes it's a change in the system. Like, you look at Bo Nix. Bo Nix at Auburn, inconsistent and pretty average.
Yeah.
Really good at times, largely average. Put him up at Oregon, all of a sudden things start looking differently. He gets developed. He's a first-round draft pick, and he's going to be starting in the NFL. So guys can improve based on system and coaching. But I think Carson Beck has continued to make leaps and leaps. Like, he was under siege early in the first half. He's more athletic than people think. The one scramble he had, I was very impressed with. Now, he looked like he about tripped like a drunk at the end of it. But in the first 15 yards, looked really good. You know, everyone talks about Quinn Ewers. Like, I'm excited to see what he can do. Like, they've got a big one in Michigan next weekend. As you see, you know, like, how talented they are. Jaden Milroe in Alabama. Like, can he take? I mean, DeBoer's a really good quarterback coach. You saw what they did with Michael Penix. Can he make that jump where he's not just like an athletic quarterback, but he's a really good quarterback who just happens to be a great athlete? Like, those are the jumps that you're ultimately looking for some of these guys to make. So I want to get like a couple of weeks of sample size before I kind of realize what they are, because everybody told me, you know, well, Will Howard, you can't really throw the deep ball, he's not this. And I'm like, you know, Ryan's a pretty good quarterback coach, and I watched him coaching for about the last 5 months, and his deep ball's starting to look a lot better. So, like, there's an element of coaching where guys can improve. And one guy I didn't mention was Shedeur Sanders, who I think Deion might be playing three-dimensional chess, because his philosophy, I think, might be to say, hey, I'm going to put my son in the worst environment imaginable for protection, and then you can see how he performs while he's just getting shelled by both sides each and every play, because That kid is tough. He throws it well. And Lord help me if he makes it through the season uninjured.
I know. I mean, he made, going back to Thursday night, he made some big boy throws under siege. You know what was interesting to me, Bobby, and I wonder how much you all talked about it on your show during the week, on Friday rather. Everyone was acting like Colorado was supposed to blow, you know, North Dakota State out of the water. That is a program that has dominated the FCS, are really good in the trenches, and that happens to be the place where Coach Prime and company struggle. What did you think about the media narrative after their win? And then ultimately, like, do you think after watching a game that they have enough in the trenches to maybe get to 6 or 7 wins this year, talking about Colorado?
Okay, North Dakota State, like you said, they're one of the best FCS programs, and they've had NFL players come through there, quarterbacks, linemen, you know, Lance and Wang. I mean, all these guys, they're very good. And they're a well-coached football team. However, they're not going to be as good as Arizona up front. They're not going to be as good as Oklahoma State up front. They play Nebraska next week, and Matt Rhule's got those boys tuned up. Like, I'm worried. When you go for it on 4th-and-1,
I know,
on your own 40,
I know,
and you can't get that against an FCS program, like, yeah, do you think the guys at Nebraska next week are going to be worse? I cannot fathom that. So that's what the concern is. I think they're better this year because Shador and Travis Hunter are better.
Yeah.
But last year, I think if Travis Hunter stays healthy, they probably win 2 more games.
Right.
If and you can't – and I know Deion's like, hey, he's a freak, and he is. But asking a guy to play 100 snaps a game, like, that against competition that's going to continually get better, it's a tall task. So I don't know that the rest of the roster is all that improved other than the fact that those two guys are two of the best players in the country.
A little bit more on Travis Hunter, Bobby, because I continue to be impressed. He didn't get targeted a ton on defense as a corner. When you look at how he transitions to the NFL next year, the money obviously is at wide receiver. Do you think that is the position he is best at this point?
I don't know how polished he is at running routes, and that's something that takes a little practice and takes a little time.
For sure.
But the fade he caught in the end zone, like, the guy has crazy good ball skills. That was he's obviously a gifted athlete, and if you continue to coach him a wide receiver, he's going to pick it all up. It's just a function of development and timing. And so, if you're him, you look at it, well, if I'm drafted here, what can I make? If I'm drafted at this position, what can I make? You know, you look at those contracts, you know, 4-year, $140 million, like, that doesn't look too bad to me. I think that he might be a guy where they'll probably pitch him as both. He'll be a primary wideout, and then he can be your third corner on defense or do some of that, and he'll be able to add that value. It's kind of a Shohei Ohtani situation. I've never seen anybody that's been able to kind of do that, and we'll see if he can maintain a whole year of it.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating, Bobby. I'll let you go on this, my friend. We ain't even getting to the Dallas Cowboys yet. We'll do so here quickly. What do you make of the passive-aggressive back and forth that we've heard through the media between Jerry Jones and Dak Prescott?
You know, I hear Dak handles things really well. Like,
he does.
He's very professional. I mean, I love Jerry's profanity-laden rant about how he's the best dude to do the job. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I almost thought that was, like, fake, that that was an internet meme that could not have been real.
Bobby, he's going senile on the job, brother. Like, I'm going to call it what it is.
Here's the thing. When you get old, I mean, I don't know if you have grandparents and you live with you. Like, my grandma would say some things, and she lived with us until she was 93. And I'm like, you know, just when you get older, you can say that.
Because, say what you want, yeah.
People, you're just allowed to do whatever you want. You can say things like, you know, it's really not socially acceptable to talk like that anymore, but you just excuse it because, like, you know what? That's how they used to talk back then.
Yeah.
And I guess it's okay. I don't know. But Dak has done a really good job of handling it, you know, and his comment. And I think it was very astute because Jerry does honestly have a really good relationship with his players.
Yeah.
He is omnipresent in the building, and I'm sure they've had conversations, and I'm sure Dak's frustrated with things. But his comment, I've learned not to listen to what Jerry says in the media.
Golden.
I don't think that was a passive-aggressive shot. That was him saying, like, he talks a lot. He talks more than any other owner in the history of sports, for heaven's sake. He's going to say some things that are a little bit out there, but that means I think that they have conversations. He knows what it is, and I'm not going to worry about all of the noise around.
Bobby, if you were in this position, would you have already gotten Dak signed to this point? Because there's no way that they would be stupid enough to let him, one, lose him in free agency to another team, and then take that $40 million cap hit that they're going to have to take.
So I'm of the belief, and I said this a long time ago, I don't think Jerry believes that Dak can win a Super Bowl for him with Mike McCarthy.
Wow.
Okay. So, and that's with Mike McCarthy. I don't believe that he is the coach after next year, yeah, unless they do go to a Super Bowl or at least an NFC Championship game.
Yeah,
I would not be shocked if Bill Belichick is the head coach there next year. And I think he wants to let Bill make that decision. And maybe Bill has told him, hey, we'll move on. We'll draft a guy. I don't know. Maybe, I heard the joke last night, Shedeur Sanders would look great, you know, the star.
Wouldn't that be something?
I don't know. Bobby. Oh, it'd be remarkable. That Deion and him, oh gosh, it would be beautiful. Heck, yeah. Maybe Deion's gonna be head coach.
look, Bobby, now you're stirring it up, my brother. Look, I appreciate you giving me some time and enjoy the rest of the slate.
All right, you guys have a good one.
It's Bobby Carpenter, one of the absolute best, talking all things college football. Good to get his thoughts on the Dallas Cowboys. So I'm not the only one that feels like dysfunction is on the horizon for Dallas. I look at this group, like a seven, let me not say seven, but an 8-9-win football team. I think Washington, if they can get good enough production defensively, will be in that wild card fight along with the Dallas Cowboys. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. On the MGM National Harbor Lister lines, you can tweet at me as well. It's at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Linnell Willingham taking it up to 6 o'clock. When we come back, we will get back on the burgundy and gold here for a second. I'll ask or answer the question I asked our pal Ben Standing. Which Commanders coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury or Joe Witt Jr., is under the most pressure heading into this year? That's next on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
1067 is the number. on the MGM National Harbor Lister Lounge. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Pete Bethurst coming up at 6 o'clock. Before we get to Pete, though, I want to continue to talk a little bit more burgundy and gold as it is officially a game week here on 106.7 The Fan of the Team 980. It's the only place to be on game days, right here on The Fan and on the Team 980. Myself, Denton Day, Doc Walker, Earl Forsey will have you covered all day long, each and every Sunday, Thursday, Monday, whenever the hell this team plays, for your burgundy and gold game days. Make sure you keep it locked right here on The Fan starting at 6 a.m. tomorrow. The Junks will get into their Commanders in Bucks preview. It is finally here. I honestly cannot believe that we are already at game week. I guess I can. It has been a long, drawn-out summer.
It seems like it took forever to get here. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. I mean, I was saying this Friday. It feels like because the offseason was so eventful, I get emotional when we have this time of year come up. If I was able to fake cry on the spot, that would be amazing. But
you'd
no,
be an actor. Beautiful face.
It's amazing, though, because all of the events that we had this offseason, from searching for the quarterback or general manager, quarterback, head coach, all made this offseason that much more eventful. And I think it's helped us get here faster.
An entire wave of free agents coming in. Yeah.
It's been something, man. I'm thoroughly impressed by where this group is in terms of tempering expectation. I'm happy that we were able to make it here. Happy we made it here. No big injuries to report. Feels like the quarterback has checked every box that we've looked for him to check to this point. But I said this.
Still worried about those sliding comments he made. Never having practiced sliding and eh.
I look. That this thing was heading in the right direction. He was like the final piece of a masterful offseason. Hiring Adam Peters was the first domino to fall. Then you go out and you're on your head coach search and you bring in a guy in Dan Quinn that everyone respects around the NFL. Nothing but rave reviews. He's able to put together a rock star staff, and that's how we'll segue here perfectly. Spearheaded by Cliff Kingsbury calling plays and Joe Witt Jr. calling your defense. In terms of which one of those coordinators are under the most pressure coming in, we asked our pal Ben Standig this earlier in the program when he joined us, and he said Cliff Kingsbury because he's got the quarterback. And I get that, right? But I would say this is hard because technically there's less talent offensively for Washington. You got two first-rounders on the interior of your defensive line. You spent big money at linebacker on Louisville and Wagner. You spent big money on the edge in Dorrance Armstrong. They have invested a ton of resources on defense. I think they're both under an immense amount of pressure. I don't think there's one guy that's under more pressure than the other. But Kingsbury's never been an OC before. Joe Witt Jr.'s never been a defensive coordinator before. I think both of them are under an immense amount of pressure, and I think both of them are in position to put themselves in good standing moving forward as potential head coach candidates. That's the type of job I expect these two guys to do. And I know it's going to be a tough pill to swallow if we get to this point. But it's good if other teams are trying to pluck players from your staff. It is good to... It's good to have other people look at your staff as where you want to get to. It's just what it is. It's just what it is. It's what you want out of this group. I think Kingsbury probably is in better position to get poached because everyone wants the next quarterback guru, the next quarterback whisperer. I don't know. I just think Cliff, if it doesn't, let's look at it through this lens. If the offense struggles and the defense struggles, who gets put under more scrutiny? Cliff or Joe Witt Jr.? I think it goes back to what Ben said. He's got the quarterback. He's got the most valuable chip in the franchise on his side of the football. So I think, yeah, it would be Cliff Kingsbury. But in terms of which side of the ball I expect to have more success, I would also say it's Cliff Kingsbury's side. I think offensively, because Jaden Daniels is that damn good, I think, you know, they're going to be good offensively regardless. Whether it's being pass heavy, whether it's establishing the run, I think they're going to be fine offensively either way because of scheme, tempo, and just overall the pieces. And I get this wide receiving core is not very good outside of Terry McLaurin. But I look at the guys in the running back room and Eckler and Robinson. I look at Sinnott, Ertz, and Bates at tight ends. A decent group. But everything is going to be based on whether or not Jaden Daniels can elevate his teammates. That's the big thing. And I personally think he will be able to elevate his teammates. I'm getting, like, spam calls. I don't know who this is. Someone has spammed me, like, 15 calls in a row as I'm sitting here.
I gave out your phone number to some Taylor Swift fans.
Damn it.
No, I have no idea what it is. I don't know.
Don't lie to the people, Chris. You gave out my number to the Taylor Swift Reddit. Did you put my number on the Taylor Swift Reddit?
I'd be like, you guys will not believe who's never heard the term Tay-Tay before.
Tay-Tay? Jeez. But no, I think, and I said it last week, I would have a hard time picking Washington against Tampa with Benjamin St. Juice and Forbes as your outside corners. It would be difficult for me to do. It would be. But I think I might pick Washington. I can't not pick them the first week of the season. I mean, we're going to have a segment in the pregame show where we pick the game. At least for the first couple of weeks, you got to pick them, right? But here's the reality of it. As optimistic as I think this team...
Do you think they'll get pressure on Baker Mayfield? That's a big thing there. That eases up the corners game real big if you can get pressure on Baker.
If they can't pressure Baker Mayfield, then they're not going to win many games.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. They got to be able to pressure him.
Yeah.
And then maybe we're not as worried about them corners, you know?
That's the hope, Chris. God. Can we fast forward to Sunday? Can I jump in a space-time continuum and end up Sunday?
I got a lot of hours I'm supposed to be making before then, so no.
Selfish, Chris.
So selfish. I want time travel for you. Sorry, bud. Sorry, Linnell.
You know who would time travel for me? Pete Medhurst time travels every now and then. I don't know if you know that about our pal Pistol Pete. But no. I feel like the ceiling for this team, if everything goes well and perfectly, I would say is 9-10 games. I think the floor could be your pick in top two again in the draft. A lot of unknowns. Sunday, 4:25 p.m. Eastern time. We start to answer some of these questions. One final segment coming up here on The Fan before we hand things over to Pete Medhurst. That's what they need to do. It's create explosives.
I feel like That's what you got to do on offense. But on defense, you need to prevent more explosive plays. Like, that's the opposite. You
yes.
know?
Yes.
It's got to be both.
It's got to be both. But if you're going to force turnovers at the rate Washington hopes to, then maybe you can give up an explosive every now and then. Maybe. I don't know, though, man. It's going to be fascinating to see the way this thing goes and the way this thing plays itself out. But I honestly am hyped for the season. I'm ready to break Tampa Bay down more. Luckily, our pal Chris Russell, nice enough to, I guess I shouldn't say that on the air, he shared his Game Pass password with me like a good teammate. So now I get to watch Bucks preseason over again and see what Washington's going to be geared up for. It's a big, big year. It all starts week one, Sunday, in Tampa. I don't know if I'm going to pick Washington, though. We were discussing this before we went to break. I don't know if I can pick Washington. I don't know if I can pick Washington and believe it. How about that?
Didn't you pick them to have like 9 wins or something?
You're so not going to pick them week one? To be one of the 9, right?
Yeah, you're not going to pick them week one against Tampa?
Why'd you say against Tampa? Like Tampa's some pushover.
Nah, but it's not like, come on, it's not like they're playing the Chiefs or somebody. Come on, man.
Tampa's a damn good football team that won a playoff game a year ago and honestly was a win away from getting to the NFC title game.
Yeah, sure.
The Bucks are no slouch.
I'm not saying they're a terrible team, but they're also not like an elite team.
Well, there are only a few elite teams.
Sure, but if you're going to make it 9-10 wins, something like that, you're going to have to beat some teams in that tier, you know?
My friend, who is an Eagles fan, you all started 0-6. Is he that off? Like, I can see them losing to Tampa on Sunday. We would be miserable all week long if they lost to Tampa. I know I'd be. I guess it depends how they lose.
Personally, I don't think they're going to have a good first half of the season. And it's not because of who they're playing.
Chris, we've heard enough from you, Chris.
I would say it's not because of who they're playing. I just think, you know, there's so many new players on the team. They got to learn how to play together. And it's going to take half a season to do that. That's what I think.
Chris, respectfully, I hope you're wrong.
I would love to be wrong.
Would you? Knowing you? Wanting to be wrong?
Yeah, make me wrong. I'd love to see that. Yes, let's do it.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Ultimately, as I said, in terms of keys to week one, got to have balance offensively. It is a non-negotiable in terms of getting the running game going. And I don't even think you got to have a tremendous amount of success. You've just got to keep Tampa Bay honest. You can't allow them to just pin their ears back and rush the passer all game long because, quite frankly, up front, you're not good enough to do that. The magic number for me this week, 26. 26 passing attempts for Jaden Daniels. No more than that, and they'll win because they got to have balance running the ball with Brian Robinson, Austin Ekeler, and dare I say it, Jaden Daniels himself. The one position outside a corner that I'm worried about, that I'm curious to see who fills the role, who is the third edge rusher? We know we're going to see a lot of Cleveland Farrell. We know we're going to see a lot of Dorrance Armstrong Jr. Who is that third rusher? Is it Frankie Louvu? Is it Dante Fowler? Is it Jamin Davis? Or is it the seventh rounder, Javonte Jean-Baptiste? Game week is upon us. Pete Medhurst coming up next. Big thank you to Metal Chris. Big thank you to Bobby Carpenter as well as Ben Standig for joining the program. I'm back on the airwaves Wednesday over on the Team 980, 1 to 4 p.m. for Windbag Wednesday with Chris Russell. Until then, be well.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
For a tax
your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.